find out, man, not the gospel of Jesus. You know, he'll want you to understand and come to the knowledge and find out, man, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. But that gospel, man, that Jesus Christ preached is the gospel, man, of God's love for you and his whole plan for your life. The fall, the salvation of the fall, the cleansing of it. That's Calvary, the cleansing of the fall and cleansing of the sin. But boy, that's something that's greater than that, man. And that's having restored back to you everything that you lost. What I lost? I lost righteousness with God. I lost right standing with God. I was no longer righteous. What I lost? I lost peace that passes all understanding, that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Don't matter what's going on around you. Boy, when you know something and come to the knowledge of something, I'm talking about a peace that I promise you the world can't give and it can't take away. You will know that you 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 know that everything is all right, even in the midst of the storms, even in the midst of the protests and the violence and even in the midst of everything that's going on in this world system. You'll come to the knowledge of something, that boy, that God loved you so much and his love, man, covers a multitude of sin, that he washed you white as snow. That's all the stories about Calvary and everything that you're reading in the Bible, but that's a means too, to an end. If you're not careful, you start right there. Start with just your salvation. But the Bible says go on to receive the end of your salvation. Which the salvation, man, is not the end. That's just the beginning. What's the end, man? Have restored back to you everything that we lost. Knowing what, man, knowing what you rightfully have. Knowing what you have, what you've been, not just knowing what you've been saved from, but knowing what you've been saved to. Knowing what's restored back to you. And then, boy, when we take our place, man, it'll come to the knowledge of it, and take our place, man, as the true sons and daughters of the Most High God, as who we truly are. That don't mean we put aside our priesthood. That don't mean we throw away our priestly garment, our apostleship, and all the gift that God gave to the body of Christ. That's our priesthood. And you need that. But what you also need, man, is your crown, too. You need your kingship restored back to you, your sovereignty, your dominion, your righteousness, your raw power, your peace, your joy in the Holy Ghost. You need that. You need that restored back to you. You need that administered to you. You need to know about that. You need to know what you've been restored to. You need to know, man, that the kingdom of heaven then came to you. I told you, Isaiah saw it. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and on his shoulder there'll be a government. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I'm just giving you the main parts of it. What he came with? He came with the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. He came to bring he came to restore the Garden of Eden back to earth. Or let me say it if I can say it in a different way. He came to reestablish it back on the earth. What's the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden is not a geographical location or nothing like that. It's an atmosphere and an environment that's created by the literal presence of the Lord. I'm talking about the literal presence of the Lord, where God can dwell at right there. You know, that's Eden. That can be anywhere. Anywhere where God has power, control, and influence. You know, anywhere where his presence, man, is at. Not like the songs we sing, you know, but I'm talking about his real presence. That atmosphere. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere it would be, man, if Almighty God, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, man, and angels, man, would come around about you, that would, man, be sitting in your home with you, man, get in your car with you everywhere you go on your job with you everywhere you go, in your kitchen table with you, in the shower. It don't matter where you go, that everywhere you go, man, they right there with you. What kind of atmosphere and environment you think that would create? I'm not talking about us saying that they were there. I'm talking about if they actually was there in manifestation. Can you imagine what kind of environment and atmosphere that would create? The presence of the Lord. If you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew it beyond any shadow of a doubt that, man, that wherever you go, that God is with you, you wouldn't worry about nothing. You know what the gospel is? The good news is he is with you everywhere you go. He's even as far as to say, man, if you make your bed in hell, I'm going to be there too. In other words, he say, even when you die, I'm going to be there too, man. What you there for, Lord? I'm going to come and get you, just like I came and got Jesus. Come and get you too. Why you think I showed you that and revealed that to you, man, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? So why? So you can have confidence and faith, man, and knowing, man, that, hey, when it comes your time, man, to leave these old bodies, these old shacks that you're living in and get your mansion, I'm coming to get you too, just like I came and got Jesus. He the firstborn among many brethren. He the first man from the dead of many brothers. The same thing that happened to Jesus, same thing that's going to happen to you and I when that time comes for our spirits to leave this body. Who? The Holy Ghost. Why? Because all that's been restored back. You just don't know it. And those of us who are coming to the knowledge of it, man, you know, we're just not learning how the functioning principles of it, how to operate in it and apply it and put it in our life, man, to where it can be manifested. Because it is, I think the reason why this gospel, man, that Jesus preached ain't been preached, because this one is not just with enticing words, stir up your emotion and everything else. No, this one here got to be demonstrated. It's not enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's in demonstration and in power. So that the faith of the hearers don't stand in the wisdom of the man, but baby, they know that they heard a word from the Lord. Lord, why? Because it's not only, man, you know, a good word, man, you know, that God has given us as men and women of God to administer to the body of Christ, but it's an anointed word. It's the anointing that removed the burden and destroyed the yoke. Not just a good sermon or a good pre-sermon or a well-articulated message. No, it's the anointing that's upon that. What's the anointing? The ability of God, the power of God, the unctioning of God, that. That's why Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bound, set the captives free. And then I like the last part. And then he said, and to proclaim unto them the year of Jubilee. Oh, Lord. Boy, if you knew what that meant. What's the year of Jubilee? Everything restored. Not just open blind eyes. And listen, let me say something while I'm right here. And not so much as physical blind eyes and causing the physical manifestation of it, man. You know what he really came to do? He came to open spiritual blind eyes. He came to unstop spiritual deaf ears. He came to cause the spiritual lame, those that didn't know how to walk, man, up right before God and walk in their sovereignty and walk in their dominion and walk in the power that God created us to walk in, man, lame. Can walk good with these legs that we got, physical legs, but lame men don't know how to walk, man, like sons and daughters of the Most High God. Can see good with these physical eyes, man, but blinded to the truth, man, of God's word and God's love and God's grace and God's mercy for our lives. Full of life, got life on the inside of us, man, and strong and vitality and go to the gym and work out and everything else, man, and health and got a good doctor report, man. But dead in trespasses and sin, separated from God. Jesus Christ come to open man a spiritual blind eye to the truth, man, of God's love for your life and who you really are. He come to unstop deaf ears, spiritual deaf ears, so that you could hear what, not just what the preacher is saying, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, man, through the preacher. He come to those who are paralyzed that can't walk up right before God and can't walk, man, like God wants us to walk, man, but always falling, always slipping. He come, man, you know, to raise up us up, man, from that bit of affliction, man, to where we walk and talk like the sons of the Most High God, where we walk up right before God, pleasing in his sight. And those who are dead in trespassing and sin, that have not yet, what you mean dead in trespassing and sin, that have not yet received the love of God and the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Salvation. everything that's restored back to you, all that's gift from God. There ain't nothing you did, nothing you can do to earn that. Your responsibility, man, is to receive God's grace and administer God's grace. Your responsibility, man, is to receive God's love. To grab a hold to, man, God's kindness and God's mercy, man, and let that permeate your whole spirit, soul, and body, man, and it'll manifest itself in your life here on earth. Let me tell you something. You don't have to ask God to save you. You're already saved. You just need to come to the knowledge of it, man, that God, everything that, listen, that had, the Bible, I quoted it earlier. He said, man, he was slain before the foundation of the world. Thank God he's omnipotent. He know everything, man. He know he got a plan. His plan and his purpose going to prevail. Our little eyes, our little mind, our little finite thinking, and our little understanding, man, can't even come close to, man. To the Bible says, man, eyes ain't seen and ears ain't heard. Neither has it entered into our hearts, boy. I'm talking about the thing that God has for us, in store for us, prepared for us, before the foundation of the world. Yeah, but what about all the suffering going on in this world? Listen, let me tell you something. The suffering of this world ain't worthy to be compared with all of the glory that God got for you. We can complain about it now, but baby, when you're getting glory, you're going to say, oh, man, that was nothing. Lord, that makes a lot. And I complained about it. We did all that complaining about it, but boy, look where I'm at now. And all that took place down there in time, that was just for time, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years, and then you're gone, man. But baby, when you leave here, man, you entering into eternity future. And when you look back in time, you will say, man, the suffering of that little stuff I went through in that little time, man, ain't worthy to be compared, man, with all the glory that I'm living in now. And boy, this isn't telling me something, man. The good news is, this is what my point is, this is what my message is. You don't have to wait till you get there, man, to start living that way and being that way, man. Jesus Christ come to bring that to you now. He come to bring the kingdom of heaven to you right now. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where is that, Arthur? It ain't in manifestation first. I told you, the spiritual kingdom. He didn't come to set up the kingdom on the earth first. He come to set up the kingdom in the earth. The Bible say, where is the kingdom of heaven? They ask him, where is the kingdom of heaven? And where is it? Is it over there? Is it over here? Where is it? He say, no, it's within you. I come to set it up, man, in your spirit. I come to set it up in that part of you, man, that was dead and trespassing and sin, that was separated from your Father, who? Your spirit. God still communicated with Adam and Eve after the fall. But he had to minister to them through their soul, you know, because they were spiritually dead. Well, there come a time when, man, a seed came. That seed, man, that God had talked about, man, the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of his original word. And when that seed came, man, when that original word was begin to be proclaimed, man, then that spirit, man, that was laying dominant inside of mankind, inside of the physical body that was dead and trespassing and sin, baby, when they heard that word, glory to God, a conception took place. And that spirit, man, became alive. The Bible called it born again. Hallelujah. By the incorruptible, man, word of the Most High God. When it heard the gospel, man, of his salvation. When it heard, man, that, man, what he had, the plan of God, how he was lost. How he was lost, Arthur, by one man's disobedience, like I started this off with. What Adam did in the garden, man, way back there when him and Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and turned the universe and gave dominion over to the hand of the devil, man, and the devil slung our earth, man, into the world that we live in here now. That was one man's disobedience caused sin to come upon the whole human race. But God in his love and his kindness loved, man, his world. The Bible says, it's a very familiar scripture. God so loved the world. God so loved what? The world. What world? I've been telling you about this world that the devil set up on the earth and everything else, you know, that where we have all this going on. But there was another world, man, before that. That was, man, the life that Adam and Eve, man, was living in the garden, man, when they was communing with God, where there was unbroken fellowship, where there was no sin, no disobedience, nothing. And the Bible saying they walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. On their way, man, to their destination. What's their destination, man? Making the whole earth just like that little Garden of Eden. Making the whole earth, man, an atmosphere and environment that's saturated with the literal presence of the Most High God, the creator of all mankind. God and his family. God and his children. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning in life forever and ever and ever and ever. And all the things, man, that God was telling them, man, and talking to them about, man, in the garden. Also, that's in the word of God. I promise you it's in there. And he's saying, if you seek, you'll find it. But you got to do what? You got to seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. Not what we doing for God and through God. And we go out here, boy, we call the assist and everything else. No, not that. I ain't talking about what we can do for him. I'm talking about what he has done for us and continually doing for us and bringing us to the knowledge of. That's why I tell you, boy, our God done great things. It's just a lot of things that we don't know. We living so far below our rights and privileges. We living like mere men and mere women. When all the time the Bible say, man, what is man that you are mindful of him? That for a season you made him a little lower than the angels, man. But they living and dying like mere men when all the time they are little g, not capital, little, they are little gods. But they dying, living and dying like mere men. They living like men, humans. They living, man, you know, far below their rights and privileges. Because they don't know who they really are. They know who they are through their priesthood, but they don't know who they are through their king. They got on a priestly garment and everything else, you know, and they have good service and good church and everything else. And let me tell you something, kings love to be entertained. But they like other things too. Then you don't want to be entertained all the time. That ain't what it's all about. The entertainment is a very important part of it, but man, winning souls, man, getting the love of God, man, out into the world, man, changing lives and changing, man, world. How, man, you know, if we come to the ever come to the knowledge and find out what Jesus preached and go and preach there, that's what he said. Go into all the world and make, he didn't say make Christians out of them or Muslims out of them or Hindus out of them or Buddhists out of them or none of the titles that we fall upon, you know, in our priestly garments, in our attempts to please God, you know, and to reach God, you know. In our religious services. No, he wants you to come back to you and put your crown on. The Bible says he has crowned us with glory and honor. He's putting the crown on the church's head in this day, in this time. All the things that have come up on the world that you're seeing and everything else, man, you know, the Bible says when all those things come up on the world, that's not the end yet. It sets the stage for the end. That sets the stage, man, for the gospel of the kingdom to be preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation. Then the end gonna come. I told you, man, the devil can only operate, but he got certain boundaries that he can operate in. And boy, God has provided, man, salvation, man, for his people. I'm talking about in every area of life. I'm not just talking about salvation from going to a devil's hell, you know, and being lost and cast into the lake of fire. I'm talking about salvation in any area of our life that we need saving in. That word is complete. Zozo, that means saved in every area of life. Why? The only way you can walk in there, you got to know, man, and give, man, what you really lost. You got to go on past the redemptive message of Jesus Christ and find out, man, about the restoration message of Jesus Christ. You know the theme of the Old Testament? You know, is, and I was in Bible college, you know, and well, that's another story. But the theme of the Old Testament is the restoration, man, of the kingdom of God, the restoration of God's kingdom. What you mean, Arthur? That's the theme of the whole New Testament. Now, all the stories and everything else, man, you know, they prophesied, but they all, man, the end of the prophecy was, man, that's coming a Messiah that's going to save, man, us, man, from this world that we live in. That's just like the children of Israel, man, that the devil is the god of this world that we live in. That's coming a Messiah, man, that's going to set up, man, a kingdom. And gonna set up on that kingdom, man, and of that kingdom that he's gonna set up, man, it ain't gonna never be no end. In other words, man, that's coming, man, another system, another world, another kingdom. We're living in this kingdom of darkness under the beggarly elements of this world system because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But boy, God, man, when he came, sent his son with that government on his shoulder, he came, man, to reestablish, man, another system, another way, another thing. It's called the kingdom, man, of God, dear son. It's called the kingdom, man, of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus Christ come to reestablish, man, on this earth. And he came and did that 2,000 years ago. He didn't just come, man, to die for our sins, man. That's the means. He died for our sins so that we could enter back into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and come back into the Garden of Eden and start eating off the tree of life and all the other trees that's in the garden, man, and live forever and ever and ever. How you going to live that way? You got to come back to your original place. You got to come back into Eden. You got to come back, man, into the presence of the Lord. You got to come past the gates, like we said last week, past the gates of Thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the church services, past the radio broadcast, past the encouragement, man, of us, man, in building one another up and us ministering to one another and aiding and supporting one another. Past that, man, all the way behind the veil into the very present, man, of your Father, the Most High God, man, himself. Well, Arthur, all the way into, man, what's behind the veil, man? That's all the way into the presence of the Lord, man. He wants this more than anything in the world, I believe this with all my heart. He wants you to, he want to hang out with you. He just want to know you. He just want to buddy up with you. He just want to hang out with his children. He just want to love his children. He just want to shower us, man, with his love and with his knowledge and with his wisdom and with his character and with his nature, man. He just want us to see him, man, for who he really is so that when we can really see him and be like looking into a mirror, we'll see a reflection of ourselves, and then we can learn, man, how to live, man, like he want us to live and talk like he want us to talk, act like he want us to act, man. When he see the true identity. And boy, I'm telling you, man, he came in, and I'm talking about he it was already before the foundation of the world. It already decided, you know, there ain't nothing that happened that he hadn't already decided. He didn't know what was gonna happen anyway. And man, 2,000 years ago, man, he came and redeemed our life from that destruction, that disobedience of Adam, that plunged us into this world that we live in here, cleansed us off from it, man. That's Calvary and his blood and the cross and everything else. And then, man, restored back to us everything that he lost. But watch what he did, man, before that. He reestablished God's kingdom back up on the earth. What God's kingdom? Not the Christian way. Not Buddha's way. Not Muhammad's way. Not hard-hearted Christian's way. Not the Baptist way. Not the Methodist way. Not Seventh-day Adventist way. All of us got ways, man. Not our ways. But he come to set back up on there, man, you know, the God way of doing things. God's ways. He couldn't have set up, man, that's the kingdom of God. God's way of doing things on the earth. What God was doing in the earth. Not what man is doing, man, for God, but what God is doing for man. He come, man, for us to rediscover that. And what God done for man, God, man, made man in his image and made mankind in his likeness. And, man, God had his children, and they was all doing fine, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and everything was going great. And they was on their way, man, to being fruitful and multiplying and replenishing the whole earth, making the whole earth just like the Garden of Eden as they begin to have children from there. And, man, their children would go and have their own place, man, and they had the children there. And wherever they go, they'd be taking the Garden of Eden with them, which is the presence of the Lord. And, man, before you know it, the whole earth would be filled with the presence of the Lord. Man, that's God's original plan and purpose, man, for his children's lives. And that's what was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3, man, mankind, man, God lost his children. An enemy came in and caused man, God, and his children to be separated. It wasn't his children, Adam, them, man, that did that. God, it was the enemy that came in that caused them, man, that deceived them, that caused them, man, to disobey God. They didn't just do that on their own. They was influenced, man, by an enemy of God. And, of course, if you're an enemy of God, then you sure was an enemy of God's most prized possession, man. That's you and I. He didn't have but one motive all around him, man, the cause to happen to you and I, the same thing that happened to him. What happened to him? He was in the Mount of God too. He was in Eden in heaven, and he got separated from God through disobedience and going against the grain of God. So he come down here, man, and do the same thing, man, to God's children. And he did for a season. But God so loved the world. What world? That world he had in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He sent his son to bring that world back. And when his son came with that government on his shoulder and that ruling authority and reestablished, man, God's kingdom upon the earth, man, then he died up on the cross, man, for the penalty for all mankind's sin, just like that one man's sin brought death to the whole human race in the same way, man, one man's obedience to God's word brought salvation and grace and mercy and forgiveness of all sin to the whole human race. Just like one man's disobedience caused us, all of us, man, to be out of standing with God, lost all our righteousness, then the obedience, man, of the other man, Jesus Christ, caused that righteousness to be restored back to us, caused that salvation to be restored back to us. And here we are, man, the children of the Most High God, man, trying to live the best we can, man, trying our best to make it in. Man, you need to know that, you, man, God love you so much that he didn't made it in for you. He didn't made a way for you. You just have to come to the knowledge of this. Like I said, you don't have to ask God to save you. He already saved you. He saved you. It's by grace that we are saved, through faith. Through what? Through faith. Through faith in what? In God's, this word that I'm sharing with you, God's plan of salvation for life. He can't save you. If I lose a $20 bill, if I lose a $100 bill, especially if I lose a $1,000 bill, my $1,000 bill, man, ain't come looking for me. I got to go looking for my money if I want to get it back, man. It was God come looking for Adam and Eve when they, man, ate off the tree. It was Jesus Christ come looking for us, man, when he came to this earth, man. To do what, man? To restore our life. Adam and them, man, they had fixed some things around them and everything else to go with it, man. But God came, man, and he had to kill a lot. He had to a life for a life. And he had to provide, man, clothing for them. They had tried to put clothes on themselves. They had covered themselves with the leaves and everything else. But then God, man, overrode that man, and he provided, man, a covering for him. Until he could provide the ultimate covering for him. And in the fullness of time, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this earth to redeem our life from that destruction, man, that happened by that one man's Adam's disobedience that caused, man, us to come into this world, you know, to the place where we are now. Now what you have to understand is what the book say. You know, the Bible say, now that you come to the knowledge of that and you receive your salvation, well, it's a gift from God. If God is offering you the free gift of salvation, then what you got to do, you can reject it or you can receive it. You can grab a hold to it or you can say, yeah, okay, all right, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, but, and then you can let it go. And listen, my time is almost up here, but that salvation has been provided for you. All you had to do, man, is just receive it. We're going to continue with this next week, and I would ask for you to tune in. And if you would ever like to have a copy of our radio broadcast, we'll be more than happy to send it to you, you know. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to have our phone number on there. Some of the things that we're going to correct in our closing, you know, about our time of service and everything else. But our phone numbers is on there, and we would really love to continue being a blessing to your life. So stay tuned in and tell a friend about us. But know this, you know, as we continue, we're going to continue this message next week. God has provided, man, a covering for you, an ark of safety for you, salvation for you, and it's your inheritance. It belongs to you. You just need to know about it, and then you can either receive it or you can reject it. My prayer is that, man, you receive God's word. For as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons and daughters of the Most High God. My prayer is that you receive this word in your spirit. I love you, and I love you with the love of the Lord. I bring you greetings from myself, my wife, Gail Lavelle, and my family in our Kingdom Life Ministry. We vow to be a tremendous blessing to you and to fill you with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Stay tuned. God bless you. See you next time.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.